Well, as summer vacation winds down, one of Michigan's most beloved vacation spots was booked up by political tourists this weekend. The state's GOP headed north for the biennial Mackinac Republican Leadership Conference. Joining the party's rendezvous were five of the 16 contenders for the Republican presidential nomination, making their case for why they deserve the party's support.
The political class has failed us all.
We're trying to choose who can best beat the Democrats, but we also want somebody who won't preserve the status quo.
I know how to do this because, yes, I am a Bush.
All I'm doing is being who I am, and if it works, great, and if it doesn't work, great.
After we win the nomination, it is my intention to campaign hard in the state of Michigan. We're going to win Michigan.
That was Carly Fiorina, Rand Paul, Jeb Bush, John Kasich, and Ted Cruz. And the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta was covering that conference and possibly indulging in a little bit of Mackinac Island fudge. He joins us now to talk about the weekend's biggest news. First of all, I guess the event settled down after some early fisticuffs, not something that usually happens at this event. What was that all about?
Well, I think there are two rules of going to a convention like this on Mackinac Island, and one of them is that drinks in tiny glasses are always a mistake, and Horn's Bar after 10 o'clock may be a mistake, too. This was actually a case where I think the fact that these two characters worked for competing presidential campaigns was just kind of an accident. That, you know, when you hang around in politics for a long time, there are long simmering feuds. And this was just something that got a little personal. And it was really more of a shove than a punch. It's before the local prosecutor right now, but I would be surprised if very much came of it.
Just in one line, what was it? For our listeners, that exactly happened.
These are top staffers for Rand Paul, and that was John Yava, Grand Rapids political consultant, and John Beesom, who works for Marco Rubio. And apparently some words were exchanged that someone may have been taunting someone's girlfriend, and it just got stupid.
Well, after it moved on from that, apparently things got a little bit smoother. Jeb Bush was one of the first candidates to address the crowds on the island Friday night. And Bush was once expected to have an easy time securing the nomination, but he's since really fallen behind in what is a very crowded field. What kind of reaction did he get on the island?
Well, it was interesting that, you know, the Bush family has a long history here in Michigan. You know, Governor Milliken supported George H.W. Bush. John Engler was a big supporter of both H.W. and W. Bush. You know, now we have Attorney General Bill Schuette, who's sort of leading the charge in Michigan. And so it's the family has an extensive political network in the state. And George Bush came in, and his speech was interesting because it really wasn't the sort of red meat speech that we've come to expect at a conference like this. That, you know, he talked about President Obama's citizenship and religion and said, look, you know, he's an American, he's a Christian, cut it out. Our problem with Barack Obama is his progressive liberal policies, you know, not these other things. And at the very end, he even kind of wrapped up the speech with it was almost like a mend it, don't end it moment when he talked about government assistance. And, you know, what he said was, it's necessary, but it's our job to make it work and get people on it and off it as quickly as possible. And it was, I mean, it was well received. It was, you know, it was kind of called the grown-up speech, you know, compared to a lot of what else you hear.
Right. And I'm sure one of the reasons that that the president's faith and citizenship came up were because obviously front runner Donald Trump has been making comments about that. And then over the weekend, Ben Carson also made a comment that he didn't think that the president should be a Muslim. Neither of them were at the island. They were out of sight, but were they really out of mind?
I mean, Donald Trump in particular still kind of hangs over this, although I will quibble with your characterization of Trump, Carson, or anyone else as a front runner at this point. You know, we have a lot of polling that's out there that's suggestive of this or that. But, you know, it's very hard to measure who's going to be a primary voter or a caucus goer. And so I think there's a long way to go before we have people who are actual front runners. Matter of fact, I'd say you can't have a front runner when the race hasn't even really started yet. You know, people are just out there making their cases. But, Donald Trump has been commanding a lot of attention. But, you know, coming out of the last debate, and this was very, very evident on the island, Carly Fiorina's star seems to be on the ascent. And, you know, everywhere she went on Mackinac Island, she was just, you know, greeted like a rock star. That doesn't necessarily mean that people want to, are ready to support her, but clearly a lot of people are very intrigued by her.
Someone else I wanted to ask you about who was not there, and I guess he ran into some weather-related problems with his flight.
He ran into some primary and caucus-related problems.
We're talking about Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, and I was going to bring that up, of course, because Walker's best noted for taking on the unions in Wisconsin and with Michigan being a newly right-to-work state and that kind of thing. You know, it would have been interesting to hear from him. What was that you were just referring to?
Well, you can blame the weather all you want, but it's pretty clear that his campaign is in a state of near collapse, and so he's retrenching and doing everything that he can to win in Iowa and South Carolina. And so, it's basically they're in crisis mode, and you have to start jettisoning things. And so, he had to jettison Michigan. But, clearly for a Midwestern governor like Walker, a state like Michigan would be important down the road. And Ohio Governor John Kasich recognizes that as well. I think this is like his seventh visit to the state. And, he made a point of touring the island and stopping and talking to people as well, because, there are people who are saying that the path to the presidency will go through the Midwest.
Rick Pluta is the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network, and we're talking about this weekend's Mackinac Republican Leadership Conference. So how important is Michigan for the candidates? I mean, as you just mentioned, I suppose that could vary. In February, though, the legislature moved the state's primary up about a week to March 8th. Is that going to give Michigan some more clout in this race?
Well, that's the idea. And the conventional wisdom is, the closer you make it to the front end, the more influence you have, which is why Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina are so protective of their early state status. But Michigan will be coming out. We'll see the early states. We will have a Super Tuesday the week before Michigan, and then sort of a somewhat smaller Super Saturday right before our Tuesday. And we're sharing our primary date with Mississippi and Hawaii. And we will that group will be the last of the apportioned delegate states. After that, it becomes winner take all. And so, you don't know how the primary process is going to play out. We thought that Scott Walker was going to be a strong contender throughout, and look what's happening. I think the idea, the way it could play out now is, there's this winnowing of the field out of the early primary states. Maybe the Super Tuesday and the mini Super Saturday do that a little bit more. And you come into Michigan and with two or three, and either we provide the front runner with the momentum to go on and win it, or maybe someone who's lagging behind but still credible gets a gets a resurgence coming out of Michigan. Those are sort of the two possibilities, the way that it's kind of being mapped out right now. But every primary cycle is different, every election is different.
Let's talk about endorsements. Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette endorsed Jeb Bush. He's chairing his campaign in Michigan. Did we have any other Michigan leaders come out with their endorsements, especially Governor Snyder?
Governor Snyder said that he's going to hang back until a lot closer to the March 8th Michigan primary. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly is doing the same. And Brian Kelly told me that he and Rick Snyder getting behind the same candidate is not a given, not in this cycle, that he said that the last time around they both got behind Mitt Romney. He was a Michigan native, you know, that he kind of emerged as the front runner. So that was kind of a natural result. And he said, might not see a repeat of that this time around. State Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekoff got behind Kasich. You know, he said that he's a Midwestern governor who understands Michigan. And while Candace Miller, the congresswoman from Macomb County, who's widely rumored to be interested in running for governor in 2018, has not officially endorsed anyone, she and Carly Fiorina were kind of joined at the hip at this event. And Fiorina even gave her a shout out in her remarks to the conference.
There was a straw poll that MERS and the Detroit News conducted to see what the support was like for the candidates on the island. What was the outcome of that?
An unscientific straw poll. We should we should point out that it's not reflective of anything other than who did a better job of organizing the delegates. And just like happened 2 years ago in the same straw poll, Rand Paul came out on top. Carly Fiorina, although, did very respectfully a close second, and John Kasich actually saw some improvement in where he stood. And so clearly at this event, showing up mattered. But, you know, winning a strong poll on Mackinac Island of people who have the time and the money to go and attend a conference is not necessarily reflective of how primary voters, Republican primary voters, might behave come March.
Carly Fiorina, as you mentioned, getting some buzz, as they say, and she also generated a fair bit of controversy in last week's debate with her remarks about seeing an aborted fetus in the sting video of Planned Parenthood by anti-abortion activists.
That apparently is not there.
I wondered if that came up this weekend at all.
She has, as much as anyone, been, you know, delivering a full throttled indictment of Planned Parenthood and anyone inclined to support it. And it's one of those lines at an event like this where you get at least some portions of the crowd standing up and cheering. But, you know, this was also an event where it was really controlled by the establishment. And of course, it's a very stage managed event. But, you know, they kept out controversial figures like a national committeeman, Dave Ajima, who was there, but, you know, never introduced any of the speakers or anything like that. And so, the idea here was to be a lot more low key, a lot more unified, and a lot more about, you know, problem solving those common issues that Republicans share and less about real incendiary social questions.
Obviously, this was mainly about the five presidential candidates, but obviously some other business to discuss as well, including the economic recovery in Michigan. So when people weren't talking about the presidential race, what else was on the agenda?
Well, I mean, there was, a panel about Detroit's recovery, a panel about how to make the Republican Party a real big tent that's more attractive to women, to minorities, stuff like that. And one interesting thing was Governor Snyder used the event to roll out his relentless positive action political action committee. And he says that he's going to start playing in state house races next year and maybe even in primaries. We know that people close to him, at least, are working on candidate recruitment. And I think at least part of the idea is to maybe get a somewhat friendlier legislature going into the last 2 years of his term, and then trying to elect people who sort of think about government the same way that he does to, try and, bake in the Snyder administration policies even after the Snyder administration is in the history books.
I was thinking about that this morning, reading that story on Morning Edition that you wrote about the Political Action Committee, which is that I can't really come up with very many names that I think of as Snyder-esque in the state. Any early names being whispered around about that would be kind
of
inheritors?
No, and that's kind of the point, which is that, you know, there's sort of a standard farm system in politics where, you know, you go and look at people who are on city councils, county commissions, you know, maybe they're the president of a local chamber of commerce, that they have sort of a natural base of support to launch from and build on. And, you know, what I'm hearing from people in the administration is maybe there are other places to go. And Rick Snyder was sort of presented as the template of someone who was maybe politically interested, but not really political involved, that his background mm-hmm. was in business, economic development, and he started Ann Arbor Spark, which was a right. local business incubator. And so maybe go and find people who are more like that, who are less attached to the existing political system, the existing political yeah. farm team, and maybe you will get a legislature that is not quite so partisan. And that raised a lot okay. of eyebrows that yep. one person said,
Rick,
gotta wrap up.
We're going to have to wrap it up here, I'm afraid. But thanks, as always, for talking with
you
us
bet.
And for all the great coverage this weekend. Go get some rest. Rick Pluta is the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network, and we've been talking about this weekend's Mackinac Republican Leadership Conference. Mm-hmm.